pass on the mountains, one pair of hands from the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
that he heaven and earth. Now, how could a body or a father, an old man with a cane, as most Christians have saw the father as the old bearded gentleman sitting upon the throne, and he's telling the son to go down there and save everybody that will believe on him, and things of this nature. Ladies and gentlemen, let me show you something. I want you to understand that the Father has given all judgment to the Son. The Father, he can't be seen because the Spirit don't have flesh and bone. Do you see that? That's revealed in the Gospel of John, the last chapter and the 39th verse. That's John 21, verse 39. And you understand that a spirit don't have flesh and blood or flesh and bones. So then, God overshadowed Mary, created out the marvelous nature and wonder of the pregnancy of Miriam. When he overshadowed her, out of her womb proceeded a flesh body that was literally the Father entombed in the flesh body that he called the Son. You see what I'm talking about here? And I hope that the Father will honor you. Let's go to John 5:23. For that all men may honor the Son as they honor the Father. He who honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who hath sent him. Now, John 5:22. For neither doth the Father judge any man. Now, what does it mean there, Pastor Buddy? Because everybody thinks that they're going to stand before God. Well, God is the Father. And if you will go to the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 12. Listen as I read you this marvelous scripture here in John 20 and 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And that's the Father now, ladies and gentlemen. Now remember, here it says, the Father judgeth no man. The judgment has been handed over to the office of the Son, which is the express image of the invisible made visible. In other words, the Father would be invisible, don't have any shape, because we find here in John 5:37, listen, and the Father himself, who hath sent me, hath given testimony of me, and neither have ye heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You can't see the shape of the Spirit. The Spirit don't have no shape. It's everywhere. It's in all things. Anything that has anything to do here upon the earth, or all of the stars, all of the planets, the sun, the moon, the vastness of the whole heavens, is directed by that eternal Spirit. Now that's the Father who overshadowed Mary and caused her to bring forth a body of flesh, and this body of flesh was the direct evidence of the invisible God, the Father, made visible in the personage of the man from Galilee. Now, we know that the dead stood before God. Now, that had to be the Son, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to prove that to you as we go into Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read verse 31. When the Son of Man, there he is now, read it with me here in Matthew 25 of the first chapter, it says, when the Son of Man, that was the offspring of the Spirit, the invisible, no shape and no sound, when it moved upon Miriam, she conceived and brought forth a child, both from a woman, because Miriam contributed the chromosomes to the development of the child, and the father contributed, if you will, the Y chromosomes. Now the X chromosomes from the woman and the Y from the why would nature call, or science call, the chromosomes, why would they call it Y chromosomes. Well, of course, in the selective process of the alphabet, everything that has life is a result of Yahweh. If you see a tree, if you see a flower, if you see a mountain, everything that you see, the Himalayas, that's why we've named our assembly location here in Tennessee, if you would understand it, that's why we call it the House of Yahweh, or Hallelujah Acres, where we gather here at the trees. The tallest tree is in the world, native to America, exclusively, is the Sequoias. It is a majestic hardwood, and it, when you cut into the hardwood, and if you've ever used any red, what we call redwood, you know the endurance of this great wood, and it is the express image of the Father with the red blood and the white streaks running through it, representing the white Aryan race with the blood of Jacob blushing in his face. Oh my. Everything, the whole heavens declare his glory. There's so many ways to glorify the Father by glorifying the Son. He that will not give the Son any credence to being the Father would actually take from the glory that the Spirit wanted you to pay homage to the express image of Himself in a flesh body. You see, it was impossible for you to express yourself in the Spirit before the Spirit had a chance to express itself in a flesh body. It was impossible for you to become God, but it was purely, wonderfully, marvelously, and graciously possible for the Father to become a man. Oh my, how wonderful these mysteries are prevailing, both identified through science and through nature. Don't you know that the nature itself will express itself? When a tree, when you see it out here, you'll see it on a Y standard. You know that the highest mountain chain is on a Y standard. Everything that breathes is on a Y standard. If you don't believe that, why don't you just suck in the oxygen? Now, remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the living word, or the oxygenation of the Spirit. When you breathe that into your body, you can hear man, the physical body of man, the diaphragm of the lungs, as it inhales and exhales, you'll hear it say, ah, and it's marvelous. Ladies and gentlemen, the height of this wonderful truth has never been told. I could preach on this oneness subject tonight for the rest of my life remaining, and the half still wouldn't be told about the great mystery and the marvelous mystery of God manifest in the flesh. Now, let's go to John 1 and 1. In John 1 and 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now, God is the Father. Are you understanding that? "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, let's hold our finger on verse 1. Let's take the finger from the other hand and go down to verse 14. And it says, by the revelation of John, the writer of the Scripture here, it says, "And the Word was made flesh." Now, where does the Son come in here, Pastor Buddy? Because everybody believes, and they misquote the Scriptures, that there's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, it don't really say that in that particular manner, although that is correct. But let's go and get the correction of 1 John in chapter 5, verse 7. Now, let me read it for you, and you listen. There are three things that bear record in heaven. The Father. Now, we know that's God. And then it says, it don't say the Son, as everybody assumes it says that, because their carnal mind jumps on it, and the Son. It says the Word. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, verse 10. He, the Word, He, the Father, He, the Son, He, the Holy Ghost, encompassed all of this in one body with the expression, because you see, the Father has no shape, neither does He have a voice. He's the eternal flowing of the power of the Spirit, controlled in the Godhead of, I'm going to give you in part 3 of Colossians 1:15, when we get into the New Testament here, of the writings of Paul, he says in 1:15 that He is the express image of the Father. That's the Son, or that's the Word. And the Word was the voice. The Word was the living being that came upon earth in a flesh body, and that was the Father veiled in flesh. And now, enter the Jews. Let's go to the unbelieving Jews and listen to the reasoning of the Jews. Who is your Father? Now, when the Messiah said, you've never heard His voice and you've not seen His shape. But He says the Son, listen to me now real carefully here, the Son in the bosom of the Father. Now, that word bosom is the direct center of the Godhead. That's figuratively what that means. From the very center of the Godhead sprung the day star. The revelation, the Word made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the eternal Spirit. So, 1 John 5:7, in the beginning was the Word, as expressed in one and one, and 1:14, and 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, not them. Because we find that the Son created, according to the Gospel of Paul, and we'll get into part 3, because we probably won't have time here tonight to get into this last part. We're going to try to do a 3-part series on the revelation of who the Father is. And tonight we're dwelling and concentrating on who the Word is. The Word was made flesh. That was the express image of the Father made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh my, can't you see the ignorance and the fear and the superstition of the ignorant and unlearned as they wrestled with the parables and the scriptures and the verbal expression of the Son, as He said, when they said, "Where is your Father?" And the Son responded to them by saying, "Why, you don't know who the Father is?" When He expressed Himself, He said, "The Father that sent me is in me." Now, are you with me here tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Please come up to speed here, and I pray that the Father would enlighten your eyes and give you understanding on the concept of one God, one Father, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, as it is expressed in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, that one Lord is Yahweh. That one God is Yahweh. That one Father is Yahweh. And one faith is the faith in the expression of the Son as He was in the bosom of the Father, revealing His nature, His divine nature, and the characteristics of the dayspring from on high who have visited us. The holy right arm of the Father was made bare in the presence of the Son, or the presence of the Word, who they rejected. They said, "Away with such a man. Blasphemy." Now, we're going into the book of St. John for just a moment, and we're going to read the 14th chapter, and we're going to start around the 7th verse. Philip, after he heard all of these marvelous things that the Messiah was expounding to the unbelieving Jews, when he got the Messiah alone privately, he said, Lord, show us the Father, that it would satisfy us. You've talked about him. We've heard this marvelous thing about the day spring, or the arm, the right arm, or the power of the manifest of the flesh body. Please, do me a favor here, Philip said. Show me the Father. Now listen to the return of the expressed image of the Father, who no one had ever heard his voice or seen his shape. Now listen what the Son, who was the living Word of God, made flesh that dwelt among us, according to the Scriptures now. And here's what he responded. Philip. Dear Philip. Poor Philip. Have I been so long with you, and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You see, ladies and gentlemen, that flesh body, as humble as it was, and as seemingly harmless as it was, the Bible said when we would see this man called the Son, that we would marvel, because it said that he was full of humility. Here is the one claiming to be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace of Isaiah 9 and 6 that I read you last night, and Isaiah 7:14, which was Emmanuel, interpreted from the Hebrew language of Matthew 1:23. Now check out Isaiah 7:14. Let's read it here. The prophet Elias, or Elijah, said that there was going to be a day spring visit us, and that they would call his name, when he was born from the woman Mary, that they would call him Emmanuel. Now, by going to Matthew 1:23, listen as I read, which being interpreted is God the Father with us. Marvelous revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, can you grasp this? Can you get it in your spirit? Can you see that the visible of the invisible brought about the revelation of the Father with us, who was in the Son, the body of flesh, and he revealed himself, and his expression or his word was in the beginning. No wonder John heralded the revelation of the shape of the Father and the voice of the Father through the prophets, when he said, in the beginning was the Word. He didn't say in the beginning was Yahweh, although Yahweh was the Word, according to John 1:14. The Word was made flesh. God, Yahweh, was made flesh, the bosom expression of the invisible, crying out to you from the spiritual realm, wanting you to behold his glory, wanting you to acknowledge him, wanting you to confess him, and above all, wanting you to bow and bend your knee in humility and in humbleness, and submit yourself to the revelation of the name of Yahweh in repentance. Father, I have sinned. Father, forgive me. Father, I have called on false names. Father Yahweh, I confess my faults before you. Father Yahweh, I pray that you forgive my sins in your marvelous, magnificent name, of the name above every name, that every knee is going to bow to. And in accordance to Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw God the Father sit upon the throne, John's declared. And he said, I saw him, God the Father, judge everyone before him. Now we come back to Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man, enter the Son of Man, or the expression of the flesh man, who was the visible made visible through flesh production of the flesh. He came, and the Father was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself. I don't know why that people have trouble with this. I don't know why that they can't jump the fence of carnality. They want to be a father person with an express image, but the Bible said he don't have an express. You see, a spirit don't have an express image. It says in Colossians 1:15-21 that the express image was the Messiah, the one we call Jesus Christ, made flesh. That's the express image of God in the flesh. No wonder the prophets herald this great man who would walk the earth for 33 years, who would suffer at the hands of sinners, who would laugh him to scorn, who would beat him with a cat of nine tails, who would literally rip open his back with the lead ignats that were laced into the cat of nine tails, and they would literally tear his flesh and enjoy punishing him, simply because he said, God is my Father. What he was saying, that I submit myself to the will of the Spirit. Now, listen to this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Son come to express the name of the Father, hallowed be his name. And when he expressed himself in John 5:43, revealing back from Deuteronomy 6:4 and Mark 12:29, he said expressively that he was God manifest in the flesh, and that his name was above every name, at the name of Yahweh. 6,823 times alone. I know that other people try to make something some other name. But he that doeth so shall wind up like Esau. And woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and they have perished in the gainsaying of Kor. It is more popular to go and put a name of blasphemy into the Bible. Now, let's examine that for just a moment. And I know I don't make any friends when I teach on this subject, and simply because, but I'm not trying to alienate you. I'm not trying to separate you and to express myself to antagonize you. I'm trying to give you the express image of the Father, who you have never heard his voice or seen his shape at any time, but expressed himself through the womb of Mary and walked here for 33 years and cried out, he that seeth me seeth the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Oh, Father, oh, Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, let my voice ring clear. Let this great mystery be expounded through the feeble attempt of my vocabulary. Bless me and anoint the words of my mouth tonight, that people could understand and see the express image of the man from Galilee, who was literally God Almighty the Father, manifest in a flesh body, with five fingers on one hand and five fingers on the other hand. And you say, well, what's that got to do with it, Pastor Buddy? Well, it's got everything to do with it, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to show you the expression in John 10:30. Again, when the Messiah was being criticized, when he was being threatened with those who claimed he was blaspheming, when he made this remarkable, please, I pray, humble yourself, grasp this understanding, and let the Father's words sink down into your heart. Repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, which is the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. This is the key. This is the escape key. This is the parachute that will propel you into glory. You cannot climb up in some other name. name under heaven given among men whereby that you can be saved. 6,823 times the Father expressed his name in the language of the Hebrew. And here's what he said in John 10:30. Listen as I read. I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And the Messiah said, many good works have I shown you from my Father. Remember, they'd never seen his shape or heard his voice. But the voice and the shape that they did see was the Father and the Son crying out and saying, you both know me and have heard me. I'm no stranger here. You've heard me teach in your synagogues. You've heard me declare that I am Yahweh. And yet you criticize me. You call me insane. You call me Beelzebub. You call me a child of the devil. And you hate me for the name that I come in. John 5:43. I am a causative form of the verb to be, Hayah, Eliasher, Hayah. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. But if another, if John came, they received him as a prophet. If any other come, they receive Jesus as a prophet. Christianity accepts Jesus, but they will not acknowledge Yahweh. They'll say Jehovah. They'll actually go around in circles to avoid using the divine covenant name of 6,800. I challenge anybody under the sound of my voice to come and debate me live. I challenge any man in shoe leather tonight to refute what I'm saying with the Bible. The word will stop every mouth, and judgment is handed to the Son that I'm preaching. And I represent the Son as he's now gone back into the heaven, and he dwells on the throne of Revelations 20 and 12. He's waiting. He's waiting for the day. Remember, the Father judgeth no man, but all judgment is committed to the Son. Revelations 20 and 12, I saw God the Father set upon the throne in the eternal last day judgment, and before him was gathered all nations, and he judged, and he separated, and he gave judgment righteous, and it's expressed truly of the event that is coming, and that's very soon. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man, when the eternal Father, when God the Father in a flesh body that dwelled here thousands of years ago, when he comes with all his, not theirs, his holy angels, and then before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate the sheep from the goats. Now, listen to his voice here. You'll see his shape, ladies and gentlemen, on the throne. There won't be nobody to the left. There won't be nobody to the right. You'll see one God, expressed image of God in a flesh body, and oh my heavens, what proof. Did you know in Zechariah chapter 9, it says that they will stare at me. When they see me, they will stare at me, and they'll say, where did you get them wounds? Where did them nail prints come from? What caused that in your feet and in your ankles? What's those holes and scars doing in your body? What about your back is laced and just like his flesh had been ripped open, and you know that there's visible scars every time, ladies and gentlemen, that he moves. There has to be lingering pain and anguish of remembrance of the brutal beating of the assassination of God Almighty himself in a flesh body. And that's how he was treated, ladies and gentlemen. And did you know that you treat him that way when you turn him away and will not have him as God? Philip, have I been so long with you and yet you have not known me? When you see me, you see the Father. John 5:36. But I have a greater testimony than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to perfect, the works themselves which I do, give testimony of me, that the Father hath sent me. Now they said, well, where is he? And he responded, he that sent me is with me. Now where was he at? He was in that flesh body, hid, disguised. They couldn't see him. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight you have that same problem when you try to put together through the carnal mind and solve the mystery of the Godhead. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now listen as I read it to you. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, the Father, was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels. That's you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Can you see him tonight? Can you hear his voice speaking through his prophet? Can you see his shape, and can you get a grasp of the great mystery of the Godhead as it's been expressed through the lips of mortal man, as we try to express ourselves in our limited vocabulary? Because the Bible said that there is no way that man can comprehend this great mystery without the Spirit. But I pray to you tonight above all things that God, the Father, the Son of the woman that was expressed through her body, that God Almighty, the Spirit, took shape in the form of a man, and he walked here and called himself the visible, made visible through the act of nature by taking upon himself the chromosomes of a woman and the Y, the chromosomes of a man, and making that the witness that he's going to use in the day of judgment when he himself, who suffered and died, he's not coming back, ladies and gentlemen, to be kicked around. He's not coming back to let the devil bruise him. He's not coming back for you to mock him and make fun. He's not coming back to hear you say, oh, I didn't know, I heard Pastor Buddy tell that, but I didn't believe that lunatic. I thought he was some kind of an idiot or a nut case. Well, did you know that's what they thought about the man from glory that created everything? Why would Yahweh himself design a way that the devil couldn't see? Why would he hide this great mystery of who he was and reveal it to the babes and sucklings like I expressed last night in my message? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's quite clear. It is quite clear that the judgment was handed over to the man from Galilee. And he's going to sit on his throne in the last day, and he's going to gather everyone before him. And by that, he's going to say, what have you done for me lately? Did you hear my gospel? Did you obey Matthew 28:19? Let me read it to you, ladies and gentlemen, and remind you one more time. And he said, all power. That's not part of the power. That's not sharing the power of the Godhead. He didn't have to share it with nobody. He took his power and reigned by himself and him alone. When he said, all power is given to me in heaven, and all power is given unto me in earth. I'm going to send my preachers, and they're going to preach and teach to you baptism in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now you're going to fight them. You're going to speak evil of them. You're going to cast them off as some idle tale or proverb. You're going to love the big seats in the synagogues. You're going to go to the big stained glass windows, and you're going to love the mother harlot of the earth, which has profaned the name of Yahweh and hid it and brought in the name of a pagan god to put into the Bible for you to worship. Jehovah got in there through erroneous mistake. Jesus got in there through erroneous mistake. There's no J's in the Hebrew. There's none in the Greek. And wasn't any in the English language till 1702. Ladies and gentlemen, it's clear that the King James Bible, the original text that was delivered in 1611, does not contain a letter J. And you say, well, I don't mean nothing to me, glory God, his name's still Jesus, and I love him, and I know him, and they'll smite their breath. The same denial, the same spirit that was working in the Jews, are now prevailing in the land as they fight Pastor Buddy in this message here tonight. But if you are humble, and if you can hear the voice, and if you can see the shape of these words coming from my mouth through the radio waves, if you can hear me through the internet connection, I hope and pray that Yahweh would reveal this great mystery to you and to your family, that you may be able to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and now I will make you ruler over many. Come and enter into the joy of the kingdom that I have prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Bible said the eye hath not seen, and the ear hath not heard what Yahweh has laid up for them that love and serve him. John 6:32. And then the Messiah, Yahweh Shua in the flesh body, said unto them, I say unto you, Moses gave you not bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Show us a father, Pastor Buddy. You know he's the old man standing up there and sent his son down here, and you know there had to be two of them. Ladies and gentlemen, the Father was a spirit. All the spirit done was moved upon the body of Miriam, the little Hebrew girl. And she was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost and the Father are one person. The Holy Ghost and the Son is the express image of that person. And God the Father, it pleased him to dwell in that body. Now let me give you the scenario as I wrap my message up tonight and bring you to the torture stake where he was crucified through the unbelieving at the seed of Cain. Did you know that the seed of Cain was the one that killed him? Did you know that they said, come, let us kill him. This is the heir or the inheritor of all things. If we kill him, we can have his possessions. We can rule the world because, you see, even the Cain seed, it did not comprehend the depth and the breadth of the whole united plan of the Creator. That he himself was to suffer death at their hands, and yet that he was to rise and receive all power, and that repentance and baptism should be preached in his name according to the book of Luke, chapter 24. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all of the house of Israel, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice this. On the torture stake, there was three substances. As we go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and verse 7, when it says, there are three things that bear record on the earth. Water, blood, and spirit. There are three things that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Now, let's break it down for you and go back to the torture stake. Not the cross. That's a pagan Roman Catholic symbol of evil. You'll see that in all of the pagan shops and churches and bell boxes around the country. He didn't hang on a cross. I defy anyone. I challenge anyone to read the true word of the Bible and prove that he hung on a cross. He hung on a tree. Plain and simple. The tree was not made in a cross. It was a natural tree that Y's out in a Y. So the very express image of our Father, who was made visible from the invisible presence of the Father, who had no shape or no voice, had a voice and had a shape through his Son, which was the express image of his person. For God, the Father, was in the Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself. But he didn't reconcile himself to all people only to them who were chosen. He said, you're not my sheep. You can't see this. You can't hear this. You can't understand my words. That's why you hate me. Because you don't know me or the Father. For had you known me, you would have known the Father. Three things that left his body on the torture stake. Let's find it out. As we close it up and wrap it up for you on part two of Who is the Father? Here live from Hallelujah Acres in the great state of Tennessee. Let me express this for you. Remember, 1 John 5 and 7, there's three things, 5 and 6, there's three things at that record on earth. Water, blood, and spirit. Now, when they cut his side open, let me give you a verification of the word and see how accurate and how detailed that the Father left out nothing. That through the mouth of the prophets and through the expression of his word, search the scripture for him, you think you have eternal life. You don't have any. Oh my, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. You know why? Simply because when they cut his side open, out came water and blood. That's two of the substances he said would identify his presence on the earth. Now the third and the last presence was the eternal spirit. Finally, when he gave up the ghost, he gave up the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was his Father, who manufactured and overshadowed Mary and caused that expression of his body to come forth. He gave up that body. He dwelled in that body. Christ had it was an entombment of the Holy Ghost, or the Father, who was in that body, and when he finally yielded up the ghost, the body of flesh died. And so then, God so loved the house of Israel that he gave his son, and he gave his body for the life of the sheep. The third thing that left that body after water and blood was the spirit. Now, it didn't stay gone long, ladies and gentlemen. It went into the grave. And let me tell you when it went in. It went in on the evening of the 14th of the second Passover, of the Passover. And, ladies and gentlemen, before the 16th day, remember the 15th was the Sabbath, and before the beginning of the 16th day, which is the first day of the week, according to Yahweh's calendar, he was arisen. God the Father, who journeyed down to the underworld. And Paul and Peter revealed the great mystery of where he went when he left the flesh body. Remember, the third thing that left the body was the spirit, by which he went and preached to the spirits that was disobedient in the days of Noah. Those were the sons in tomb, disobedient, not willing that any of them should perish, and there he preached to them to give them another chance and another opportunity. See the wondrous glory of Yahweh, that he might become the living God of both the living and the dead. Oh, it's marvelous. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you got my message tonight, and I love you very much. And let me make this announcement for you tonight. We're going to be in festival. Now, we're going to start next Saturday, a week from this day, Saturday. We're going to be on the 3rd of October. We're going to be gathering in Murphy, North Carolina. We want you to be with us in fellowship of Tabernacle. It could be our last gathering. We don't have a promise of tomorrow. And wouldn't you rather be gathered in tabernacles waiting for his coming, like Peter, James, and John in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, when they went up on the mountain to keep the tabernacle festival, and the Messiah was transfigured before them, and then the cloud overshadowed him and said, "This is my beloved son." What was he talking about when he was saying, "This is my body of flesh. This is the eternal resting place of the Godhead, in whom," not of whom, read it for yourself, not of whom I'm well pleased, but in whom I am well pleased. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Was the Father in the Son, right there in that cloud? Was that the Father speaking from the cloud as he spoke from the cloud to Moses? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the great mysteries is being revealed in the last days by Yahweh's chosen ones, who are bringing said, I will preach my word to the ends of the earth, and then shall the end come. Again, quickly, back to Matthew 25:31. Listen to me. When the Son of Man, born of a woman, God in person, when he comes with all of his holy angels, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and that for the purpose of separating the true blues from those that lose. You know who's going to lose? All those who would not let him reign over them. All those who would not repent and be baptized in the magnificent name of Yahweh. This is a name according to Acts 4:11. That's above every name. That at the name of Yahweh, every knee should bow. And then in the book of Isaiah, it says, those knees shall bow. Should and shall. You should now. You shall means you will later. If you refuse to bow and take this magnificent name, you know what you need to do? You need to call Pastor Buddy here tonight at area code 423-338-1972 and say, Pastor Buddy, you have touched my heart tonight with your message. I'd like to receive repentance and remission of sins in the divine covenant name of Yahweh. I want to be found in peace when he comes. Or if he tarries until I die, I want to go out in the name of Yahweh. This is the name that will raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out devils. This is the magnificent name that the whole universe was expressed and created through. The express image of the Son, by whom he created all things, as we'll get into part 3, here, Monday night, around the world, on WWRV 3.185, I will conclude this three-part message, and if you'd like to have it in its entirety of 3 hours of the revelation of who the Father is, simply write, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or you can call me here tonight, live from Hallelujah Acres in our new location. We'll give you the location maybe sometime, but if you'd call, we'd be glad to share it with you. Right now, we are in development stage, made possible by men of faith who have gathered around and committed a great sacrificial offering of monetary to purchase the Ephesian property for those who love Yahweh. And for those of you who have supported Pastor Buddy down through the years with your tithes and offerings, I really deeply appreciate it to see the culmination of the result of your efforts through our prayers. Many times we stood on the sacred circle and we lifted our eyes into heaven and we said, Father, you are a healer of all nations. Heal my soul in its spiritual sinful nature. Restore me to my spiritual understanding that I may know you, the true and the living mighty one, that I could have the courage, that I could put you before my wife, that I could put you before my husband, that I could put you before my children, that I could put you before the world. For he that loveth house, land, wife, husband, children, or anything more than you love the truth of Yahweh, you're not worthy of it. So get worthy tonight. Call me, area code 423-338-1972. And, of course, you can always call my home number at the office here in New Tazewell. You can call me there and leave a message on my answering service. That's Pastor Buddy. That's area code 423-626-626. 217. I love you around the world tonight, and we'll see you next Saturday evening. We'll be beginning our Feast of Tabernacles in Murphy, North Carolina. Come and be with us. You'll hear many expressions. You'll hear the brothers and sisters singing and testifying and preaching to you. We're going to have a great time. And especially sometime during next week, we'll be coming here to the Feast Site property, and you will begin to tour where we are going together here in this part of East Tennessee. So if you'd like to see where our Feast Site's going to be, or if you'd like to be baptized, and or if you'd like to attend the tabernacle services where they'll be singing and praise and teaching and fellowship and food and things of this nature, you just call Pastor Buddy or one of the brothers and sisters that are representing the great name of Yahweh, and we'll be glad to return your call, or we'll be glad to show you where we're going to be in Murphy, North Carolina. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see ya Monday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRV 3.185, Clear Channel, the transmitting Jewel of the South. I'll join you live Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, Tuesday night, I will join you live. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey, my good brothers and sisters in Mississippi. They make this message courtesy of their wonderful support of the Shepherd's Call, and their tithes and offerings has made this message that you've heard tonight possible. And Tuesday night, I will be sponsored again by Mark and Audrey, and that's on 11 p.m. Now, on Wednesday night, I'll be on at 10 o'clock. On next Friday night, I'll be on at 9:30. And then next Saturday night, live from Murphy, North Carolina, in fellowship of the Tabernacle Festival, you'll hear the brothers and sisters join me over there live when we bring you again the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you, and I'll see you Monday night live on WWRB 3.185. The blessings of Yahweh be upon you. I love you. Shalom.